Welcome to The Lead, a podcast about how to get ahead in the news industry from the people who did. I'm your host, Jacqueline Ganun. Today, I'm talking with Alexandra Travis, a documentary producer at Scripps News. She does long-form, in-depth video journalism, focusing especially on the experiences of Black people in the South. In this episode, she talks about telling these stories that have gone uncovered for so long, including her award-winning documentary, Ropes and Brown Hands, which is about an Oklahoma town that's home to one of the nation's oldest Black rodeos. But first, a word from our sponsor. This episode is produced by the Cox Institute for Journalism Innovation, Management, and Leadership at the University of Georgia's Grady College. Now, here's The Lead. Hi, Alexandra. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So you are a documentary producer at Scripps News, and you focus on covering underrepresented communities, especially the experience of Black communities in the South, which I think is amazing. What drew you to that long-form, in-depth mode of storytelling, and then especially that beat, which is so important?
That beat has definitely been drawn out of my own personal experience being a Black woman in the South. I felt like, especially in our education system, there were just a lot of stories that I hadn't heard, and I found myself constantly like being surprised with new information that I was getting, even just here in Georgia, things that had happened in the Black community and those unique stories. So that's always been something I wanted to bring to light, and I felt like have been not told enough. So that was kind of that inspiration. And for the long form, I'm trying to think what was my inspiration for that, because I've always been drawn to it, you know, and I don't really know if there's like one specific thing, but I feel like personally my favorite part of journalism is the connections that you build with the sources, and I really like with long form having the ability to kind of draw those relationships out and dig a little bit deeper. And I think that comes out, having that deeper personal connection kind of really shows in the product. So I feel like just maybe my love of yapping is what drew me to long form, but having more time to like explore the context around those stories and these people too, I really like that.
Yeah, I think video, that's something I've been talking about in recent episodes especially. It's so powerful, and it really connects you to people in a way that print can't. And disclaimer, I'm mostly print, and It's kind of the same. Like you said, you were just drawn to it. I've always just kind of been drawn to like writing and reading. I think people just have those, you know, areas, but I love watching video because it's so connected. You get so connected to people. So you mentioned that a lot of your beat comes from your own personal experience. So how do you find story ideas?
I do it a lot of different ways, I've noticed. But I think what's been like the most surprising is I feel like a lot of story ideas have come out of like books I've been reading, or obviously like other reporting that people have done, especially print reporting. I feel like print reporting is so important for us. It gives me usually like a good basis for what the story could be, but then I get to like bring in the visual element. So I love like working with print journalists too, like with their reporting and taking it like to that next step. A lot of like even the fiction that I read, just like the different topics and time periods that all this stuff can touch on really inspires me. And also I really do try to get out and go to different events in the community where there might be people like from, I live in DC, so people from around DC in different positions that I could meet or learn from, but also just things that I don't know anything about. I just really try to remain curious and get out and learn something. And a lot of times that can spark something.
That combination of reading a ton, I think, is so important.
Yes.
And, you know, as you mentioned, fiction, nonfiction.
Yes.
News stories give you ideas, fiction stories give you ideas. Yeah. And then just walking around. That was a tip I got at the Red and Black, was walk through campus without headphones in and just listen to what's going on. I think that's great advice.
You'd be really surprised all the different, everyone has such a unique set of interests. So like just finding these people, it's amazing. It's really cool.
So documentary is long form. Some of these may take weeks or months to create. How do you stay on track and manage your time working on these projects that it may seem like you have kind of a lot of time to do them, suddenly you don't. You know, how do you break down that process and create that story?
There's deadlines set for like every piece of the production process, which I think is really, really important. So like, say we go out in the field and come back, we'll have like a week to like look at all the footage, maybe start transcribing interviews and like have an outline ready. And then we'll have like script deadline, rough cut, audio cut, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that helps to have things that I can like look forward to. But like you said, it really does like sneak up on you. So I try to just stay in constant communication with the sources if I can. I feel like that's honestly one of the most important things, because if you maybe go like a week without checking in on them, all of a sudden it's time to book and like they don't know exactly what's going on or something popped up in their schedule. You might feel like you're bugging them, but I said this yesterday, it feels like you're bugging them, but it really a lot of the times is just like they're just remembering it. It's in the back of their mind and you're bringing it forward, because we have to remember they have a lot going on in their lives that have nothing to do with like the interview or shoot that we're coming to do with them, you know? So that really helps, I think. It makes everything smoother if we're just always, you know, they always are aware of the plan.
Yeah, I know I appreciate when people over communicate rather than under communicate. Yes. And that's something I also try and do in interviews too. It's so important to over communicate because you forget people don't know what you know.
Right.
And like if you do an interview, you always have to say, and this is something I learned from experience, can I use this in my reporting? Like everything we talked about is free to be used in this article, in this podcast, in this documentary, mm-hmm. et cetera. So I think that's a really great point about just continuing to reach out to people and explaining.
Yeah, you have to keep yourself in their mind somewhere. Yeah, people mm-hmm. have a lot going on.
So during that workflow, you're using a bunch of different skills. I looked at your resume and some things on there, conducting pre-interviews, booking guests, producing short, pulling audio, and I could go on all the different skills that you're using. So what is it like to be using all those different skills and being almost like a jack of all trades, but still working toward a singular goal? Mm-hmm. And were you ever intimidated by that aspect of long-form journalism?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I think I definitely at one point was intimidated. I started as an associate producer and then moved up to producer. I feel like maybe in the beginning I didn't know all the responsibilities that a producer had, but got to learn from like watching my coworkers, which was great. I feel really lucky that I get to work on a team where we have people in their specialized roles. So we have like our set videographers, cinematographers, and like set editors, set graphics people. So that takes some of the pressure off of me, which is really, really nice. I think it does take a lot of different skills for sure, but I feel like what it all comes back down to is communication. And that's kind of what holds it all together for me. Making sure that everyone's in the know of every single step of the process. What helps me also when I'm maybe like trying to tap into skills that aren't like my strongest is having conversations with the people that are in those specialized roles on our team. So like before we go out in the field, if I'm trying to figure out like what shots we want to get, where we want to have like where we want to get our B-roll, like all that good stuff. Having just a long conversation with like the director of photography and letting them kind of brainstorm as well, I think is really important. Talking to everyone like individually that's part of the crew, I think really, really helps in bringing all those ideas together. And that makes it a lot easier for me. So yeah, I would say communication is like the basis of it all. And then I build from there.
I like that idea of learning from other people. And as long as you tell people that you're cutting that audio and booking that guest, it makes it all streamlined. That definitely makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah.
So one of the projects that you did that I watched and found just wonderful was called Ropes and Brown Hands. And that's about an Oklahoma town that's home to one of the nation's oldest black rodeos. And it's such a good watch. I liked that it was like the personal stories and the footage and the music. And there's also a poem overlaid over it, mm-hmm. which I thought was so creative. What was making that project like?
It was amazing. That's probably my favorite thing that I've worked on. I've been getting questions lately about how I came up with that story, how I thought of that story idea. And I honestly cannot remember whatsoever. I think I was just like searching around for maybe I was looking into like Juneteenth stuff. So I feel like that kind of got my interest going. And then I kind of went down the rabbit hole and somehow stumbled upon like this black rodeo on Memorial Day weekend. But it was amazing just getting to talk about like a slice of life, I think, that a lot of people don't really know about or, consider, and even though it's not something that I would necessarily consider like newsworthy or maybe has like a hard news peg, I thought it was an important part of history that we don't talk about a lot. And like I said earlier, like I'm always feel like I'm learning new things about Black history that I didn't learn growing up or even just in my own like studies. And I didn't know about like all the Black towns in Oklahoma and that there were still some that were surviving today. So, and it was really fun, like the pre-production for this story was really fun too. So like all the research, and I joined like a bunch of Boley, Oklahoma Facebook groups, like alumni groups and like everything. And those moderators like let me post to try to help me find a cowboy or someone we could profile. So that was fun, like getting to talk to all those people and seeing how excited they were about someone talking about their town, which is like, I think that in itself is, as opposed to like, you know, like winning journalism awards or whatever, being published anywhere, I feel like that is like the most important part to me, seeing how excited people get about their stories being told. So yeah, I joined a bunch of Facebook groups. I like looked at other reporting that was done about it, and there wasn't anything like beyond like the 80s, I think was the last thing. And it was like this random like national like television special that was so fun to watch. And you could just tell how visual the story was gonna be. People had like their personal like family photo albums that I got to like look through and just see what the rodeo would look like. I just got to plug in with the people that were like really fundamental in this community, which was amazing. And everyone just made me feel so welcome. And it was great that we got to work with an original composer on that piece. So like some of the music was completely made like for the scenes that they were working on, which was incredible. And yeah, I really advocated for that poem to be included. After I went, I felt even more that it demonstrated like what the atmosphere of the place was like. And I guess it's not, like I said, it's not like a hard news peg type of documentary. So I felt like we could be a little more creative with it. Even just getting access to these people and like the poem, like the author just readily sent it over because, like I said, they want to talk about this town and this experience, and like it means so much to them. So it really, that part makes my job easy, which is really nice.
I'm continually amazed at how willing people are to let you into their lives and like show you these stories. And it's just what I love about journalism.
Yeah.
And like you said, there, it might not have been a hard news peg, but those are even some, I don't want to say more important. Those
right.
are so important still to like fill in people's, to be entertained by it and
yes.
to learn these stories, like you said, that
yeah.
we're not really learning in school. Those are so crucial to like human beings.
Yeah.
And so I love those kind of projects.
Yeah, me too. Those have always been my favorites. So I'm like, whenever I get a chance to do something like that, I want to take it.
And I forgot to mention, it did win the grand prize for best short film at the Better Cities Film Festival in Detroit. So congratulations
Thank
on that.
You.
Very
Thank you.
Deserved.
Thank you.
So something that I admire about Scripps News, which is where you work, is that the content is available for free on a lot of different platforms. Mm-hmm. And I think that is amazing because accessibility of news is a really big conversation now, especially when all the bad stuff like misinformation is readily available. I think we need to be making the good stuff also
totally.
Readily available.
Yes.
So what is it like to work at a place with that level of accessibility? And do you ever get like feedback from your audience?
It is great. And it's nice to hear you say it because I feel like sometimes you honestly forget about that piece, but it is so important that not everything is behind a paywall. It's a really amazing experience, I think, and it does open us up a lot to a wider audience, especially because you know, it can be hard to program documentary work, especially because it's longer. But something that Scripps has done that I've really liked and appreciated is our team has gotten to push content to local stations that Scripps also owns. Yeah, so we're like the national brand, and they can decide if they want to carry like our show in real life or any of our documentaries. So it's nice because, you know, if you have like a Roku or, you know, a Fire Stick, which like most people do at this point, you can get it that way. But you also might be watching your local news, which I still love local news. I don't think that love will ever die just because it's so important to communities. But yeah, you could be watching your local news and maybe see a story about Black cowboys in Oklahoma and you're living in Arizona. So it's cool to be able to like get the word out like that. It has led to, you know, some feedback and comments from people that are in those communities that I think are, it seems like they're grateful to have something a little bit different than what is normally on their local news station, you know?
Yeah, especially breaking up that news cycle when it seems like a lot of news is upsetting and
yes.
sad, obviously important to pay attention to, but you really need to draw from those creative and entertaining stories to make you feel connected to other people and just, again, as a human being.
Absolutely,
that's
yeah.
That's wonderful.
A little balance is good, that's for sure, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to go back in time a little bit and talk about your time at UGA.
Okay.
So while you were here, you were on leadership at Infusion, which is a multicultural magazine. You earned a certificate in mobile journalism, and you presented research about Black feminist leadership and hip-hop feminism. These are all really interesting and cool different experiences. So how did those affect or inform your college career? And then do they still inform the work that you're doing at Scripps?
Absolutely, to the work I'm doing at Scripps and my college career. I always was intending to be a journalism major. And then when got into Great East State Journalism, I started out as a fashion merchandising minor because I thought maybe I wanted to do fashion journalism magazine work. But started taking women's studies and fell in love with that too. So decided to do a minor in that. That's how I kind of got plugged into like the Black feminism and that research stuff. And I think it only made my reporting better in college and continues to this day. It just really has given me, I think, a lot of context around stories that I'm able to bring, just a slightly different perspective. You know, journalists are obviously, our goal is to be unbiased as possible. I'm not sure being completely unbiased exists, but to be as unbiased as possible. But I do think sometimes that leaves room for like just not getting into all the like the important historical context or just explaining like the nuance behind like whatever issue you're addressing in the story. So I feel like women's studies definitely, and like even, you know, my work with fashion merchandising gave me a different lens to look at it through and different things that I want to make sure that I highlight in my stories.
Yeah, that extra perspective is always great, and just learning as much as you can about the world.
Yeah.
And then I guess that also goes back to why it's so important to make journalism itself more accessible to
yes.
people of different backgrounds, because as we know, historically, that has not been the case, and it's still not where it needs to be. But there needs to be space for people like to bring those unique
yes.
experiences and backgrounds
yes.
into the field.
Absolutely. And another thing that I just thought about is, I think especially my women's studies minor, it gave me a lot of language that I think is helpful for journalists that we might not know, just referring to people and being mindful about people's identities or in backgrounds and things like that. It just gave me more of an appreciation of paying attention to those little details. That can be the biggest difference between like your audience connecting with the story or even your source just feeling like you represented them well. I feel like I'm able to talk to people with like much more open-mindedness, which is really important.
Yeah. And kind of along those lines, what advice do you have for aspiring journalists, maybe especially people who want to go into like long form documentary, the type of work that you do?
Mm-hmm. I would definitely say, if you have other interests like I had in, you know, women's studies, fashion merchandising, that thing, definitely continue to follow those, I think. No matter what those passions are, like focusing on the journalism but also continuing to keep those things on the side, I think has only made definitely my career and their careers richer. Chase those things as well, not just journalism, because I know it can be tempting. And it really is never bad, I think, to have a niche. And for doing documentary journalism, I know it sounds silly and simple. I think bringing like a certain genuineness to your approach to people and reaching out to people and showing like a genuine interest in what they have to say, as opposed to maybe just trying to find someone who's filling a slot for a story, that has just made the experience much more rewarding and makes people so much more open with you. So I think really working on building those types of connections and relationships are the most important.
That is a great place to end. Thank you so much for joining me. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you again to Alexandra for joining me on this episode, and thank you for tuning in to The Lead. I'm your host, Jacqueline Gannon. Our executive producer is Charlotte Barnum, and this show is supported by the Cox Institute. To keep up with the lead and hear more from media leaders, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on X, formerly Twitter. We're at The Lead Podcast. And on Instagram, we're at Cox Institute UGA. See you next time.